Welcome back to this week's Off The Record DJ podcast, and in today's episode, we finally have some seats, boys. How did you choose your DJ name? And are new DJs becoming lazy? Let's get stuck into this week's Off The Record podcast.
Music, industry talk, stories, equipment and more. We are Crossfader and this is Off The Record. Off The Record. Off The Record.
Oh yes!
Let's go.
It's a celebration, guys.
Yes!
85-ish episodes deep.
Is that where we're at?
I don't know.
Something like
about
that.
Well prepared. 5 years into a podcast, and we are sat down. Come on!
Yeah!
Oh, guys, if you're listening to this, I apologise, because there's no viewing effects. But listen,
we are,
to coin a popular 2005 phrase, having a glow up right now.
Yeah,
I feel different.
Yeah.
I'm sat down. I can swivel.
We can talk to each other more rather than just straight at the camera. God.
It's a conversation.
Guys, we've got seats. We've got a table.
Yeah.
Behind, I've got some foliage.
Yeah.
And behind us is a big shipping container. Danny went and stole a truck. There's a shipping container. Let me set the scene if you are just listening. Yeah, there's we've had a big glow up. We've been talking about it for years. It's finally happened. We've got lights behind us that can change colour.
Wow.
I'm sat on a seat. We got three mics and there's foliage. And yeah, man, look, I can lean back. I can lean forward.
And it's a dedicated setup. So we come to this ready to talk.
Yes.
Rather than let's set up the studio and scrap around trying to pull things together every single week.
If you've
never watched the podcast, be aware that you can watch this on YouTube.
If you do have the opportunity now to stop and actually watch it, be on YouTube by the time you watch it. If you're on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever.
Yeah. Spotify has video podcasts. Yeah. So if you just click the bottom player, it will pop up and you can see us.
Look how good we look.
Please watch it because we put a lot of effort.
I'm gonna crop a little image and this is going to be my LinkedIn profile.
It looks good.
Someone said, looks like a VIP section at a Miami night.
I mean, we need a dorm.
We need some bottles, don't we?
Spray bottles.
I'd be up for having a proper social on the podcast. Beers.
Yeah.
We'll have the beers lined up.
I reckon.
And we'll see how long we can make it last.
This is a shout.
Listen, I think this is a good shout.
I reckon we do a little competition, right?
Yeah.
Bring a few of us. There's a room in here for about 20 people.
Yeah.
Few beers. We'll have the club set up ready in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, this is it. I mean, we'll probably get cancelled. And
A few beers won't be the same.
We'll have a chair for a week and we'll be cancelled.
You know what? We got a shout out Rufus George.
Yeah.
He asked for a shout out. So Rufus.
Listen, Rufus.
Come on, Rufus.
Anything's possible when you've got chairs. Whatever you guys want.
Joe said, hi guys, loving the new podcast room. Oh. See, if you're not watching, you need to turn that viewer on.
Yes.
Honestly.
Come check it out.
I feel gorgeous. Oh, guys, it is amazing. Yeah, if you're not watching, then we will get to some DJ talk. But yeah, we're just buzzing, and it is an extension of content to come from us on the Crossfader channel. We do have this new setup now, so yeah, it is going to be a standalone podcast studio. We've got a load of new guests coming in and stuff, so we just wanted to level up for 2024. But we can also use this for other bits of video content as well. We can do tutorials on here and one-to-one interviews and all that kind of stuff. So it's exciting. If you guys have any suggestions, you know, we can switch this up. If you want, you know, if you want multicolored lights next week,
we can do it.
If
all.
You want some, you know, we're gonna have some branding,
one, isn't it? It's phase one.
Yeah,
we've got some branding coming and stuff like that. But you know, it looks clean.
There'll be some developments, but
Danny's in a jungle. Touch the plant.
Look at this. This moves.
It's incredible. Guys, yeah, welcome to the Off The Record DJ podcast this week. It is totally different vibes, totally different energy. And that is represented this week in we're going to talk about your DJ names. Now, last night I put a post up. I didn't really think about it. I just, you know, I thought, we need some content for today. What is it? And I thought...
I love the honesty.
I thought, how do people come up with, come up with your DJ name? You two are quite easy.
Yeah.
It's our name.
Mine isn't my name, but we'll get onto that. And the response was quite impressive, to be fair. We've had over 2,000 comments. And it did get me thinking, it's actually super important. And it's like a decision in your life that has consequences for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it sticks.
Sort of, do you know what I mean? So like, you know, my mum named me Richard Lawrence, but for 20 years, only people have called me Lawrence because that's what I decided my DJ name would be. And then I started to get into some of the responses. Some of them started off funny, which is like, you know, my parents give me my DJ name. But then some are really like, people really think about it and it becomes, and it like not, it comes, it becomes like part of who they are. It's like, it's like a guiding North Star for people. It's like they embed like their personality into it.
Yeah.
Some do funny names and it sticks with them. But yeah, I thought I'd read some out. And if you are watching live, we are live on YouTube, Twitch and Facebook. I want to know how you came up with your DJ name if you're watching now.
Ooh, Rufus is saying, can I share? I've got a story about my name. Do it.
This podcast is all about you guys, so get in touch. If you do have any questions, we'd love to get your questions in at the end. But if you do not, let us know how you got your DJ name, you know, how, because there are some weird and wonderful ones out there. So mine, I don't know why. My name is Richard James Lawrence, birth name.
Yeah.
And at the time, a DJ name by the name of Richard, just, I don't know if it's still, does it still sound cool? I just, it's not, it doesn't.
Maybe. I mean, it depends if you own the, I think it goes with like the way that you come across your persona as well.
Yeah.
So at the time, I just didn't, it just didn't sound cool to me. Being 17, 16 years old, Richard it wasn't happening for me. And then I started thinking about what are some unique names, because you know, if you're going to get searched or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought Lawrence is a lesser popular name. So it was Lawrence for a while, and then people call me Loz for short.
Yeah.
So then it was DJ Loz, but at the time that sounded what UK people know as Chavvy.
Yeah.
It sounded a bit basic.
Yeah.
So then I thought Lawrence James sounded like interesting, like a doctor.
Dr. Lawrence James.
So I stuck with that, and then that stuck with me, and then that's been my identity for years.
Yeah.
And I thought it is quite an important decision. And then there were quite a few people who haven't made their decision yet, and I thought we could help them out.
That's a good one, yeah.
Help them out. So if you haven't got a DJ name, let us help you out. And then if you let us, we'll also roast your DJ name. Which
I like to say, so on my front,
yes, go on. Yeah.
I always just call myself Jamie Hartley.
Yes.
That is my name. And do you know why though? My name is James, name's James, but I've been called Jamie my whole life. So it wasn't really that. It was simply because at the time of me growing my brand, Facebook was like the thing.
Yes. Yeah,
and Facebook, you had to have your legit name. You couldn't have a nickname or anything like that.
Yeah.
And pages weren't even really a thing when I started. So it was like, well, if I'm going to promote myself, here's my personal page. I can't choose any other name. So rather than complicate it, like, I'll just use my name because that is what's showing up on Facebook and that's my promotional tool at the moment. Uh-huh. So it kind of restricted it a little bit because I was thinking about how I can promote myself. But nowadays, you can definitely be more creative than that.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Because would Deadmau5 be Deadmau5
without
that name? Would Marshmallow be Marshmallow?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. You know, there's lots of great DJs out there that are just using their original name.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting one.
Yeah.
Were you just Danny James? You had an alias. We need to talk about aliases.
We do, yeah, right. So I went for my actual DJ name was, well, wait, first. My actual name is, surname is Smith.
Yes.
Which is the most common name in the entire world.
I promise that we haven't just all changed our name to James.
No. So my name is Daniel James Smith. Yes. So I went with Danny James. Everyone called me Danny in school. So Danny was it. Danny James went with that.
It's a British name.
Yeah. Someone said once to me though, like, why didn't you call yourself Mr. Smith as a DJ name? I was like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard in my life.
Mr. Smith.
Well, someone said like in reference to the Matrix film, you got Mr. Smith. I'm like, that is terrible. So yeah, I stuck with Danny James, but aliases, yeah, I did start making music under another name, which I got from a random name generator, which was Hood Groove. That was the name of it. I thought, oh, it sounds quite cool, and it kind of stuck. And I thought about the whole artist thing, like you've got Deadmau5, you've got Skrillex. Like, how stupid is the word Skrillex?
Yeah.
But like, because he is who he is, it's cool.
So I actually did have an alias back when I was like a commercial DJ playing student nights. And then there was a few gigs I was getting that were a bit more credible. And I wanted to do stuff that wasn't under that name, you know, because it was known for doing commercial gigs. So I was like, can I come up with an alias and have two different names? So for a while, I used Monkey Boy, but spelled M-U-N-K-E-E-B-O-Y.
Yeah.
Right.
And I actually used to paint my face with this, like with the logo.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of effort went into this, right? I used to paint my face with the logo and do this other gig that was totally different. And that was like, I just lent into it. I was young. I was like, this is different. And it was just a fun thing to do. Anyway, that fizzled out, but I really liked the brand and the name Monkey Boy. And I actually set up my first company as Monkey Boy. Yeah. Right. And I used to do big posters, and it was just simply this like graphical monkey logo, and it was just the website, and I just kept it super, a bit, you know,
like minimal.
Minimal, yeah, like yeah. mysterious, like yeah. what is this about? And we ran a few events under that brand, nice. Which had different names, but that was like the company name. And then again, that fizzled out. And Crossfader was born, but
nice.
Yeah, a DJ friend of ours, Simo, he had three different DJ names because he was playing three. Yeah. He was playing three different brands of music.
Yeah.
So it did work at the time. I think it's when you start to do aliases, especially if it's a DJ, because we get asked a lot. People play different types of gigs. If you're like doing corporate stuff, then you want to be a club DJ. It's like it's quite a good idea to maybe separate the two, because you don't want to be going to and doing like student venues under if you try to be a tech house artist. I get that.
Yeah.
It's just very, very hard to maintain. I don't know anyone who's sort of maintained both names for like a long period of time, like successfully.
Yeah.
So you want to try and make it all in one if you can, but I'm sure there's reasons out there. So I've collected a few.
And I've got a few to add from the live audience. I've got a few from Instagram,
which are great, which again, I was going through and I thought it would just be a funny game, but it's actually, you know, really personal to people. Some are hilarious.
Some,
I put, how did you come up with your DJ name? And the first comment was, I thought about it.
Amazing.
So we've got I just added my favorite ice cream to my nickname.
Right.
And it worked out perfectly. Been using it almost 10 years now, and my artist name, and I'm still not being bored of it. My DJ name is Ella Stracciatella, which I assume is a play on Nutella. I don't know. Maybe that's an Italian, like.
It sounds like an Italian sort of
ice cream. Stracciatella, is it?
Stracciatella is like a flavour, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so uncultured.
DJ Avi Knox. Avi means voice. Knox means night. Voice of the night.
Oh, okay.
See, people really get into this. DJ 1210 put guess.
Right. Guess. That.
Here's a good one. So my name is Christian, so that's how I got the first part, CRI, and I wanted to be creative. I also play pool, so that's how I got CRI8, which spells create. Ah. I like it.
At least there's creativity going into this, like
exactly.
Some thought.
this is a good one. I took a hit of acid.
Oh, hello.
took some more stuff at Burning Man many years ago, and Glittercraft was born.
I love that.
A Starbucks person butchered my name, gave me the name Memek, so that's where the DJ name was born. Nice.
That's amazing. I like that. Just lean into it. Memek, that's pretty good.
I love that. This is a good one, like a really personal one. DJ Got a Strut, right? I used to wear heels daily and everywhere, and had this crazy bounce when I strutted. I used to walk fast and a bit weird, and people used to hang on to it. When I told my friend the name, she said she likes it, and she was going to start calling me the same thing. I became a DJ. My first teacher asked what my name was going to be, so I was like, Got a Strut. It always reminds me of who I am, and not to let people try and force me into playing small. See, people like,
yeah,
it
nice.
Becomes you, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And like, I think, I love like, this idea of having... You don't always have to call yourself DJ something.
No.
And this is where like Barry can't swim. It's just a phrase.
Yeah.
And it starts to build a bit of an idea of what that person could be about.
Yeah.
So I think definitely trying to tap into some of your personality and bring that into your name is huge.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
sure.
huge, because it goes beyond just a name. It becomes a brand, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got some there.
Oh, we've got loads here.
Let's go.
Right. So Rufus George said that his name, Rufus George, is the names of both of his cats.
All right. Nice. Okay.
There we go.
yeah.
Original like name is Will, though. DJ Kiko. Family called me Kiko when I was a kid. Standard.
Nice.
DJ Frozen. I got mine from Madonna's song Frozen, since it's one of the songs that made me love electronic music.
Okay.
Which I think is quite a good one. You know, if there's something particular in the music industry that really got you into music, is there something you kind of attach to that? Mm. It's quite cool. Mm-hmm. This is a longer one. Oh, I don't think I can get it all on the screen. So Ken said, my DJ name is DJ Lowcash. It was from my nickname through high school. I used to loan money to people that needed it and charged interest.
Oh,
so the
wow.
idea behind
oh,
the nickname
my God.
was when you were low on cash, go see me. Let me put it back on the screen. He said, always just stuck. And when I started spinning, it was just the natural fit, which I love. And then he said, I did end up getting the word low cash tattooed on my forearm while I was touring. Now 36 years old, 4 kids later, typical suburban dad with the word low cash tattooed on my arm.
You and me both, brother.
Kind of weird now. I still spin for fun now. And yeah, he's got Low cash.
Cool story.
Tattooed. We've got a couple of more. Mine is Ramcom, because of my name, obviously. It's Rami Armali. Mm. So Ramcom. I like the puns. I always think they're great. DJ Crossfather.
Crossfather?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm into that.
Someone DJ Orca, but spelt instead of an A, a 4 at the end. It's a bit like a license plate.
Yeah,
you can have fun with
that. I do like a funny name. I quite like a funny DJ name.
A play on it.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, I've decided that your DJ name's boring. So I found a DJ name generator online.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is we type a genre in, we type in a vibe and then your name.
Right.
So I've typed in open format,
yep.
Put the vibe as, what should we put, like hype or what's Jamie's vibe?
Jamie's vibe.
What is his vibe? Chill.
It's quite chill. Yeah.
I'd say you're a pretty chill? Zen guy.
We'll put chill.
Yeah.
We'll put chill. Oh, shit.
yeah.
Oh, no, I've gone back.
Chill.
Jam on yourself.
So can you
crowd,
just put like
crowd
one...
pleaser.
I need to sign up for an account.
Just try to please the YouTube audience. On
remember,
the crowd.
I remember when I first got my name, Lawrence James, I remember just being like, you know, because when you name yourself, you're like, right, here we go. This is the start of it. I'm pretty sure before I even did anything, I like registered like,
everyone did
LawrenceJames.com.
Yeah.
So no one steals it.
And all,
again, that was before like social media was a thing. So you kind of had to have a website because it was a bit weird if you didn't, but even though you didn't really do much to your website, it was like a business card online, wasn't it?
Mm. Just like linked everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. SoundCloud was a big thing. It still is, but like that was kind of like your CV before even, you know, you promoting yourself on Instagram and stuff.
But I remember when I made a website, it kind of just linked to all my socials. It was kind of like what Linktree is now. Like you click on it and it's like, it's got all your social details there, your SoundCloud, everything like that. That's all I kind of used it for, really. How are we going with this generator? Have we got it?
No, he wants me to sign up. Right, we'll come back to it. Right.
Forget the generator.
I don't want to sign up for that.
It'll probably come out like DJ Bird.
I've got a good one here.
Yeah.
So Lee B said, he's called Lee Z, like when you ordered DJ EZ from Wish.
Oh, yes.
I like that.
I love that.
Great.
Right, we're going to get into a bit of controversy. Have we got some Reddit drama now, Jamie?
I do.
Let's go.
Reddit drama, it's all over the place. People arguing, fighting, all up in your face. Reddit drama. Reddit drama.
Right, we're going to get into a bit of controversy here.
Bit of juicy news.
It's a bit of juicy. This is a bit of a, you know, a sort of, you'll find out, we'll read it. So it's actually titled, I'm going to catch some heat for this.
Wow.
Which immediately got me thinking. But a lot of new DJs are lazy.
Okay, shots fired.
There isn't a shortage of young DJs that meet me and just ask me to give them music. Not a song, not a few songs, but flat out give them entire genres of
library.
Music that I've worked years to get and find. I view building my catalogue as one of the most important parts of being a DJ because it's a showcase of your musical knowledge and it helps you actually learn your music as opposed to just going out and playing something that was given to you. Then it also causes clubbers to complain that all DJs sound the same. So yes, I hate when I'm asked to send money, to send someone my music that I used either my prior knowledge or research to find, pay for, then normalize to a consistent audio level. I'm not an asshole about it, but when asked, but it's shocking. It's shocking how many DJs do it. Basically,
right?
Thoughts?
No, do you know what? I agree with this from the perspective of, you know, at Cross Radio, we're here to teach people to DJ. And one of the big things about learning to DJ is learning the music.
Of course.
And honestly, if I ever end up on someone else's laptop or just jumping on and someone else's USB drive's plugged in, the overwhelm you get, you're like, I don't
it's
know.
So
like,
alien,
because
yeah.
It's not my music. It's not my library. It's not my playlist structure.
Yeah.
None of that is mine. So it actually makes it very difficult. And I honestly think if somebody gave you a large music library, you wouldn't use like 90% of it.
No.
You just get overwhelmed from it. And I think there's a big part of learning to DJ is discovering music and managing that music and setting up your hot cues and doing your preparation and doing all of that stuff yourself. Now I know that in the past, you know, we've helped other DJs out where maybe their laptop's broken. We spoke about this in the past, or they've lost all the music, their laptop got, you know, stolen or something.
Yeah.
And to help a DJ out in that way and like give them a music library to work off so they can continue working, that's great.
Yeah.
And you know, there's some management there for them to work off. But yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I, yeah.
I sort of agree and disagree. I think that it's a bit of a, just because I used to do it as well. So I used to go and buy records and you feel precious about the music. But just because it took you ages to find, like music is easy to get now.
Yeah.
It's easy to get, it's out there. So you're trading off is your time against what is like now relevant. So it's like, just because you can have access to like 1,000 songs now doesn't make the music any less just because you've been out and searched and took ages to find music, mm-hmm. doesn't make that more important than the music that's out now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just another way to like get the music. So
I would never think of it as that. As like, oh, I've put all this energy and effort in, so I shouldn't share this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I wouldn't like gatekeep the music.
Yeah,
but this is a big thing as well. Like, gatekeeping is like a new generational trigger word.
Yeah.
Where it's like everything should be available to everyone.
Yeah,
and we should all enjoy it.
But I think one of your biggest strengths as a DJ is like everyone can have the same music, but how that library is laid out is like your strength.
Yeah.
Like you can find the songs quicker. You can, you know, you have them set out the way you want them, and like that is like the big part of like your arsenal, isn't it?
It's it is, yeah.
I feel like that's more important than the songs.
Yeah, it's a bit like a DJ set. When I used to do guest sets, when I first started doing guest sets, I'd almost sometimes like my agent would have a list of songs that the DJ wasn't allowed to play first, you know, because it was big songs and you want to go in with a bang. But then I realized, I was like, well, I'd rather have I like the challenge of you can play anything and I'm quite confident to go on after you and still smash it.
Yeah.
There's enough tracks. And like you say, what you do with them, like, you know, if there's a Show Me Love or whatever, you can spend time making your own edit, finding SoundCloud edits of that song or whatever the big song is. And you can still play the same track, but it's, you know, an edit of it or something.
The flip side of this is you can utilize this to challenge yourself exactly like that. And you could, you know, as A-Track used to do it a lot. He used to share his set lists from his sets. And I guarantee that by sharing the set list, he's sharing the love of the music. Great. But also, he's then thinking, well, you know, hundreds of other DJs have got that same set list now and can, you know, play the same tracks in the same order if they want. Yeah. So that's going to force me to download some new music, go hunting for some new music and stay on top of my game. Because naturally, it's easy for people to Shazam nowadays and figure out tracks. And even if they're really cool edits, you know, naturally they end up getting in most people's hands. Mm-hmm. So it's forcing you to not just rest on your laurels and go, I'm just going to stick to this banger set that I've got and I'm going to try gatekeep it. So this is my one and only set. Like, it's constantly pushing you to search for that new music by saying, you know what? I've played this 5 or 6 gigs now. Let's share it. You know, let's tell people about it. Mm. And that's making me now look for something fresh to stay on top of my game.
Yeah. I'd also, you know, if someone comes out and asks me for music, I immediately want something in return, potentially. But like, okay, yeah, so I'll give you this hip-hop folder, all my hip-hop stuff.
Yeah.
What are you into? You into tech? I'm not a tech house DJ, so can you send me your tech house? I'm sure if that's the way you want to do it, like, I'm sure there's something that somebody else has got. I don't think somebody would come up to you like a brand new DJ, like, oh, can I just have your library? Like, you do have to like have a bit of a bond and like a bit of a, you know, I like personally, I like to like, you know, taking DJs under my wing. And if there's any music they want, like you say, it's the whole gatekeeping thing is kind of dying out.
Yeah.
And it's more about what you can do as a DJ experimentally that others can't do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why that certain DJs blow up on. I mean, if you look at the Boiler Room sets that we sort of enjoy, there's always the same tracks in there. They're just totally different edits, remixes, but it doesn't make it any less impactful, does it?
Yeah. Chapter and Verse put this well. He said, like, if you had him and Gordon Ramsay in a room, you're all the same ingredients. Who's going to make the better cake?
Yeah.
It's just how it is, isn't it?
Yeah. 100%.
This enforces you to think, okay, well, how can I make my sets unique? I've got these two tracks that imagine every other DJ in the world has these two tracks. How can you mix them in a way that makes it unique to your set that every other DJ potentially doesn't do or isn't doing? And that's the juiciness, and that's what we love to teach, really. So, you know, that's really what we love to get
there
into.
There is a joy of searching for music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though it's not a physical thing anymore.
Yeah.
It is like, it is just an amazing thing. And that the joy, especially if you've got like a gig straight after. So you're putting a set list together, you've got 30 new tracks, and you're about to go DJ, and you're like, is this good?
It's just like gems, and you're like, yes.
You're like, yes. Sometimes you're like, oh, you know, like it might go off, and you're taking a mental note, or, you know.
Here's another thing to think about. If you're finding some new up-and-coming producer, and you've downloaded their free edits and their free music, and then you're gatekeeping that and playing it for yourself, and you're like, that's fine, whatever. But then what about if you were to promote that up-and-coming producer and share Living Daylight album. Like every DJ, go download this producer's latest new track. He's awesome. Then that producer is going to go, whoa, this DJ's got my back. Yeah. He's promoting me. He loves what I'm doing. If that producer blows up, he's going to remember that. And you're going to get the exclusive edits when he's a huge artist on huge labels. Yep. And then you'll have the exclusive edits that aren't released yet.
Yeah.
And that's just something else to keep in mind, I think.
For sure. I've seen it happen recently. I follow a few like Afrobeat DJs. One guy made an edit of Tyler's Water, the big track of the year. Then this other DJ was quite well known, played it. That went viral, but he tagged him in it. So then he got like a 50,000 followers or something off the back of it. And then this track, I've heard this bootleg sort of everywhere since. Mm. So yeah, I totally buy into that, 100%.
Yeah. Rami said here, disagree about lazy, no different than DJs borrowing records.
Yeah.
When people ask me how to DJ, I always tell them it's not as glamorous as they think. And I spend most of the time downloading music alone. Yeah. It's a big part of DJing.
It is. And it's like, you find it. And then the shared experience is when you come to play the music.
Yeah.
So if you are playing these edits or something, like, there's nothing, there's not more rewarding than like somebody coming up and being like, what is this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like a biggest compliment as a DJ. Yeah.
Especially someone from the crowd.
Yeah.
They're like, what is this, bro? What is this? And they're taking, can I take a picture of it? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. It's taken me hours to find that song. Yeah. Hours. And I find it amazing. So yeah, I think gatekeeping is a bit of a thing of the past, and I think that there's more benefits coming out of collaboration than there is of like holding on to it. Because what are you even holding on to it for? Do you know what I mean?
It's only going to date and become overplayed, so you might as well let it go.
There was like when I was DJing in a certain circle, there was, and there will still be, limited amount of gigs. So there is this kind of like mental thing where you're like, well, if I give someone else my entire library, there's no different barrier to entry. They've got all the music they need. But it doesn't work like that, does it?
Remember when you asked Danny to do a tip on Serato about AM mode? And so you asked him, showcase AM mode that hides all the tracks.
And you got
slated for that, you two.
Like, all the comments, like, I get put calling like DJ Gatekeep. That should be my DJ name, DJ Gatekeep.
It's interesting, again, off the record, you know, we're talking behind the scenes about, you know, we're thinking about what's a good bit of content, and then we're like, well, actually, what's the importance of that?
We thought it'd be a good idea.
Yeah. It's there, it's a setting you can be aware of.
Right, moving on, guys. I want to know what you would do in this situation. I came across this kind of story, a bit of a technical story, and I thought, we've all been in them situations where, you know, shit's just going, like, you're like, what can I do in this scenario? So this title of this is this last night's gig was quite a challenge. Last week I had a 4-hour gig of about 100 people on a holiday trip. I would bring my laptop with record box and my music, some speakers, simple lights, and a friend would bring a DDJ 800. Normally I always prefer to use my own gear. I've got an Opus Quad, nice, and a Flex 4. The Opus is way too big to bring on holiday, and the Flex 4 is a bit basic, so the DDJ 800 would be a great step up. At the evening of the party, we are setting up the speakers, lights, and eventually the DJ setup. However, at that moment, we found out that the power adapter from the DDJ 800 wasn't working anymore. At that moment, we tried to find a computer shop for a replacement power supply to drive over. Unfortunately, it was hard to find the universal power supply with the right connection. Even when we found one with the right connector, it didn't connect that well and didn't provide a steady connection. At this point, there was three options. Cancel the party, play music through Spotify, or try and mix with keyboard and mouse. What would you do?
I'd mix with keyboard and mouse.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'd go up there and beatbox.
Just go and sing all the songs.
Yeah. No, I'd have the keyboard and mouse it probably.
Do you know what? We haven't had him on the podcast, have we, Pat Nazemi?
No,
we've done some bits with
him.
Big
UK DJ, plays at Ibiza Rocks quite a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's a programmer.
Anyway, so I saw him. He DJed at Rise Festival, which was a ski and snowboard festival that we used to play out quite a lot. And I saw him in the sound, you know, the sound stage that is facing the actual stage where the artists
are. Yeah, the front of house bit.
Yeah, the front of house. So he was in there, and I saw him, and he was on the microphone on virtual DJ. He doesn't play on virtual DJ. He's like a proper, you know, incredible DJ, but he was on virtual DJ using his keyboard and mouse, then cutting the thing down with his mouse, getting on the microphone, hyping the crowd up, and literally he threw one of the best parties all from his laptop, hidden away in front of house, but he did it. He knew what he needed to play.
Yeah.
He knew how to interact with the crowd, and it wasn't about the equipment. Yeah. It wasn't about even where he was, whether he was on stage or not. It was about he knew what to play and how to engage. And I think that was the biggest
thing. Yeah, I love that. That's great.
So, you know, and I was super impressed. And it was when I was a bit younger and I thought, surely he's not. And he was. And I was like, fair play. That's pretty cool. Fair play.
I've told the story before, I think on a podcast a while ago, but me and Jamie were playing at a festival. And then I was driving back to play a gig like 3 hours away. And then I turned up and I'd left my Serato box at the festival. And all I had was my own mixtapes. So I had three like Lawrence James mix CDs and I had like a 3 hour gig, they were an hour long. So I just played one back to back.
Nice.
So I knew where all the like, you're in the mix with Lawrence James. I knew where all they were. So
Pre-recorded sets.
Chairs are killing us.
Nearly fell off my chair.
But yeah, the end of this post goes on to basically what you said was like, in the end it was a great party. He did use his laptop and his and his mouse, and he said in the end we had a great party, maybe not the best transitions obviously, but the whole group enjoyed the tracks and I'm very happy how it turned out. This party just confirms that again, mixing skills and gear are not the most important thing. It's all about track selection and knowledge,
for sure.
Which is 100 million percent, which is what we're about. We talk about searching for tracks and searching for music and things like that. That's absolute priority number one.
And for the tech people out there, like this is one of the big arguments that people always have when manufacturers release new products, is about whether the power is inbuilt or an external power brick. And that's where some of those Pioneer DJ controllers, it's this external power brick that is it's unique to them, and you've got to have that specific brick. Whereas if it's built-in power, you can just have a kettle lead that goes straight in, which is a very universal plug that you can easily find. Probably it would probably be just kicking around in the venue somewhere. Mm. So that is something to bear in mind, you know, if you lose the power, how easy is it to replace those wires and things? So it's definitely something that people keep an eye on when they're upgrading their equipment, just to go back to the tech side of stuff. Mm.
Right then, shall we have a game?
Yep.
Did we play last week? What happened last week? No, we missed last week. First of all, sorry about last week. I meant to start this show by saying, sorry there wasn't a podcast last week. If you're watching, you can tell why all of this stuff was being fitted behind
us. This was
us.
Non-existent last week.
Yeah, so we just couldn't make it work. We'd apologise because we said we were going to do it every week and we didn't do it last week. So apologise for that. But yeah, we should be back pretty steady now, guys. We should be back every week.
The week before was with Blakey. I missed that one.
Yes, we did Blakey. Oh yeah, Blakey played.
You play a game?
Yeah, so it is Crossfader Chart Challenge. If it's your first time listening, Jamie and Danny are going to work together and they have a chart of 1 to 7. Do you want to get the...
Yep.
They've got 1 to 7 spaces on their chart and they're going to sort of basically blind rank these tracks in order. So once they go into the chart, they cannot be moved. And they've got 7 spaces. And this week's theme is... UK Garage Classics.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to be UK Garage.
Yes. Oh, but actually, very hard. Very hard.
So I just looked at these 7 and I'm like, honestly.
No.
This is really tough already, anyways.
So, sound up. Oh.
Whoa.
This is going to be so hard.
All right, okay. First one.
I chose number one.
This is my...
Really?
This,
already?
Yeah. So, this is my favourite Garage song all time.
Ever? I was making my wedding playlist, but, and we get to choose the band to learn one song. I was like, this. Could it be this one? Maybe this one.
I'm putting this no lower than number 2.
What's better?
I love nothing more than no, because if you play it,
that is MJ Cole, Crazy Love for you.
That is not that UK. Is
personally,
there.
I'd say MJ Cole, Sincere. That's like up there for me.
Yeah,
but is it?
But this is
good. It is good. Battle Wookie. That could be to come.
That was in my head earlier.
But then there's
weird.
Like you could go a bit more obscure, like Groove Chronicles. Man, there's so many good ones.
Do you know?
Do we dare just go straight in at number one, or shall we just go number 2? Just. I would be happy with it.
One or two.
I'd be happy with it, number one. Everything's got to come after it, though. Let's go. Let's go number one.
Let's do it. This is history.
This is
first time ever.
Jesus. MJ Cole, Crazy Love. Yeah. Number one, best garage tune ever.
Oh, God.
Right. No, a little bit of Looks Good.
Yeah, but I've heard it so much.
It's the drop, though, isn't it?
I think it was this. I had a mad, like, dubstep remix of it that just switched at the drop.
I'd put this pretty low. I'd be happy with this at 7 or 6, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I've just heard it so much. But
what's the
it.
Other Look and Neat song that's... there's a little bit of Look and...
Can't remember the name.
Shall we put that at 7?
Yeah. Okay, this is good. We've got the top and the bottom one sorted.
Yeah. This is the opposite of what we usually do.
Yeah.
You go look at MC.
Yeah, usually these are the last places.
Right. By the way, if you're listening to this around the world, this is like UK garage soul right now.
Yeah. UK garage to the world.
Do you know what I listened to 100%
yesterday? Go and listen to some UK garage.
I haven't heard in so long and I forgot how good of a song it is. Disclosure Control. Like one of their first ever releases.
Yeah.
Oh, such a good garage song. Like everyone go check that out.
Disclosure Running.
Yeah, their remix. Whoa.
Yeah, look at this.
So good.
If you're a new Fred Again fan, all influenced.
Yes, everything.
All of it.
Right, next one.
Oh.
Is it great to play out? Yeah. Right, a bit of Rick Groove. There's so many like edits of this as well.
Banger.
Such a banger. And it's so good to like mix with something, just a big drop.
Just drop in something, with a bit of vocal.
Yeah, slam something over the top. So, see, this is a different thing. If I was in a club, I'd prefer to play this over MJ Cole Crazy Love.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I was just chilling at home, I'd be like, it gets a bit repetitive.
Four or five?
Yeah.
I think five?
Five?
Yeah.
Five. Rip Groove, Double
99. Yeah, I'm so jealous of anyone who hasn't heard these songs before. But like, imagine hearing these for the first time again. Yeah.
Right, you know what? Oh. I'm going to do an old school garage
mix.
Oh! Let's go.
Let's educate.
Yeah, when that club setup's going.
Let's
do it.
Excellent.
Anyone watching, there's going to be a club setup over here.
Yeah,
So, battle.
The drop of this is sick as well.
Oh, here we go. Woo! Oh. Get some air horns next
out.
Week. So this is Battle.
Battle Wookie.
By Wookie. Battle by Wookie.
Don't know what you're saying. Four? Lower?
Four.
Six?
No. Four.
Four.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I've just realised.
Come
on. Could be another number one that I forgot about.
Hopefully not.
No, it could. Well, it's got to go number two if it's...
Yeah, okay.
Right, we'll see.
Go on. Oh no!
No.
So many times, just too.
Yeah,
it's
too
like,
much.
There's no need to live. I've heard it too many times.
Six. This.
It
was my favourite song when I was like 14.
Yeah,
you know?
You're from Leeds. Yeah, it's like a rite of passage. Or something.
Yeah. Who remixed this recently? Was it Joe Corey? Who did like
Someone
a?
Remixed it.
It was like a house. Was it?
Never Dog Joe.
Yeah, it was like a house version, wasn't it?
Right, we've got two and three. Like that was Monster Boy. Sorry, right?
Yeah.
We've got number two and three left.
Okay.
Stressed.
Oh. Gabriel.
This is the one I thought could be number one. When I just said I was like,
two.
This could have been number one.
Two.
This, I still put this on and just like close my eyes.
The ultimate just, like chilled garage track, like.
Roy Davis Jr. Gabriel.
Yeah.
Right.
Those like little trumpets that come in. Oh.
Oh, but there's so many tracks that just come into my mind.
Yeah.
Sorry, it might have to be like an hour long garage set on YouTube.
There's
it.
This is when I used to tune hunt so hard, end up down some mad forums where people have got like the high quality versions of some old classics that are like B-side remixes of obscure garage tunes. Like, anyway.
The last one, I don't think he's on Spotify, so it might not be the right version, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah.
See, this again. This was one of my favourite tunes around that Monster Boy Sorry era, this has stood the test of time for me. And it's interesting, this is Sia. This is original Sia.
So this is called Sia, Little Man. And
but it's the
four
remix.
Years. I don't think anyone really knew if it was her because it didn't because she's so big.
Yeah.
Like huge. She just came, like when she came out of nowhere, she was like the biggest artist in the world.
Yeah.
And it was like, surely 15 years ago, she didn't make a
something.
Garage song.
For everyone listening, this is the same Sia as in David Guetta and Sia Titanium.
Yeah.
This is the same person.
What? Play it. Chandelier. Play it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Is this the DJ Q one or not?
Well,
no.
It isn't, but it sort of is.
It's Wookiee, isn't it?
No, this Wookiee. Is X-Men. This is the Wookiee X-Men one, yeah, but the DJ Q one.
Was it similar to this, though? Wasn't it?
No. It had a bigger. It had the. Like really isolated, ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
And it was like 1:38.
Didn't change much. But it was still very much like this.
Oh, such a banger!
It had more. It was faster, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it had like a bit more, bit chunkier drums.
Yeah.
Like, but it wasn't like a crazy bassline remix, was it?
No, I don't think so. Got this on vinyl somewhere.
So
right, how are you feeling?
Good. You know, Veresto on YouTube said, I feel like it's 2008 and I've loaded up MSN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be my favorite chat challenge.
I mean, I could just sit here and just listen to these streams and talk about them all day.
It's a shame we can't just listen to them all the way through. We get kicked off YouTube. But.
What's your chat?
So DJ Look MC, you need a little bit of luck. Yep. Fine. Monster Boy, sorry. Number six. Number five, Double 99 Rip Groove. Number four, Wookiee Battle. Number three, See a Little Man, X-Men Remix.
Yeah.
Number two, Roy Davis Jr., Gabriel. And number one, MJ Cole, Crazy Love.
You know what? Copy and paste that in the chat because people always want to know the track list.
Do you know what?
We don't gatekeep.
No, we don't. I went on a boat party when I was on holiday when I was 16 and DJ Look and MC Newt were...
Oh, sick.
I was 16. I was like, it's amazing. Nice. It's great.
Nice. Guys, a little bit of Crossfader news. We will, if you are listening to this, this is recorded on Thursday. So if you are listening to this the Monday after, we do have a new course launch. So on Monday, we are going to be launching our Flex 4 Pro course. So any people who have a DDJ Flex 4, which is by miles the most popular controller in the world, we are launching our brand new Pro course. And it is basically taking you from, the beginner course has been out for a couple of years now since the... Since it came out. And this is the pro level, so taking you up for the advanced tricks, transitions, and techniques that all the pro DJs use. There is 70 lessons in the course because it is taught on Serato and Rekordbox. Every lesson on Serato, every lesson on Rekordbox. And we are also doing a bundle on both of them as well, so all the information will be on wearecrossfader.co.uk. But it is launching on Monday, so if you are a Flex 4 user, there's a brand new course for you.
And guess what?
Yes.
If you're a complete package customer,
just
check out your account right now.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's already there. If you do on a complete package, which
you're
is
welcome.
Everything, all the courses which we do, which started off at 23, I think it's now 25 potentially, that just gets added to your account. So if you want to take your DJ into that ridiculous level, next level, you can have a look at the complete package.
And there'll be another one added in a few weeks' time.
Yep, we had Blakey on.
We're not resting this year.
We had Blakey on 2 weeks ago when we told you that he's working on the open format course. That is filmed.
It's filmed. It's getting edited right now.
That is filmed by a world champion DJ in open format. So it's going to be pretty good. So yeah, and again, if you are a complete package customer, you will just get that straight in your DMs. And if you're listening to this and you want to take a course with us, always Legends of the Podcast, you can use the code Off the Record for 20% off any DJ course that is Off the Record, and you get 20% off all courses. Just go to wearecrossfader.co.uk. I could just have a nap here, guys, on my seat.
Nice.
On my seat.
It's nice to be sat down.
Oh, my God. If I hold this microphone, I feel like a crooner. Is it like Frank Sinatra?
Sing as a song.
It's totally different energy on today's podcast, guys.
Great.
Can I read out a few things?
Let's go.
We've got some bits.
Because, you know, I do try and favourite the questions that are coming in live. I think it helps people all around.
Yep.
Alino says here, does everyone feel bad at learning?
What do you mean?
That there might be like a hurdle into
an overwhelm.
Like, an overwhelm of like, I'm not learning enough, or I'm not progressing fast enough, or I'm trying to learn, but it's not working. Frustrations.
This is why a lot of people come to like CrossFit, not just us, but anyone who has I like working it. If I'm learning something like chronologically, because you're right. When you go on YouTube and you type in, you know, learn to DJ,
it's overwhelming.
Like, Jesus Christ, what do I get? If you get one controller, that takes you down a whole different, if you like techno, it takes you down to a different person. Like it's a lot, which is why structured learning is good. For people who get overwhelmed. Some people go on a YouTube video, pick it up, and that's it. The information's out there. Whereas some people like me, big time, I like the step-by-step plan.
Yeah.
For sure. So yeah, I get overwhelmed like a lot, definitely.
Gene Mark Grill, so obviously off the back of what we titled this on YouTube, has put, yes, go back to spin vinyls and do some work instead of jumping around and put the set on autopilot and you would get some heat. That goes back to the theme of this podcast about, you know, our new DJs getting lazy, you know, and they're not putting enough effort to download music and things like that. And
look, there's always going to be like generational differences.
Yeah.
Because again, you put in, I like this reference, it's like the amount of time you put in doesn't necessarily relate to like the product. So if you're going to get like a logo design, for example, and you say, right, it's £500 for this logo, it'll take me 2 days to do. You think, okay, yeah, that makes sense, it's a big job, that sounds like you're gonna put loads of work into it. But if I said to you that yeah, it costs you 500 quid, I'll do it in 2 minutes, you'd think that you'd be getting a lesser product.
Yeah.
But what if I've got, you know, 5, like 10 years in design?
Yeah.
And you,
and you could just
got,
do it in 2 minutes.
Yeah, and I can do it in 2 minutes. Yeah. So it's like the time trade-off doesn't really make sense.
You're paying for the years.
But I get why you feel precious about, you know, the having to search and build up a library over years and years.
Yeah.
It is precious time, and I get that. It's just a bit, the way you access music, it's just
now,
a totally different style. The way you learn to DJ is different. You can learn in a day, probably a day, if you put your mind to it. It's, you know, it's not two vinyls on a you know, it's months of beat matching practice.
Yeah.
It's just not how it is. So, yeah, it's always going to be generational differences.
For sure.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of love in the comments for the new setup. So we appreciate that.
Love that.
It's nice. We put a bit of effort into this. And it is going to keep evolving, you know, every week, a little bit more, a little bit more.
I'm going to be, I'll still be sat here. I'm not moving. I'll still be sat here next week.
This is your desk now.
Yeah. We're just going to leave this camera running and we'll just,
we'll do everything here.
Yeah. With something to talk about, we'll just come down, jump on. So this will be live all the time. Yeah. No, it won't. But yeah, thanks for tuning into the new set. Thanks for the comments on a new set. If you, again, if you can, try and watch it back or pause and, you know, watch it back on YouTube or it'll be on Spotify video as well. Yeah, really appreciate it, guys. And we'll be back same time, same place next week. New setup. Peace out.